Today's date is January 26th. We're taping Haggadah, the development of the Haggadah, the history of that development. And we have on the syllabus and the Chuvaret, basic structure of what we'll be doing, very orderly, number by number. The section that you have on your test right now is the middle section, which is the main section of the Haggadah called Magid, obviously connected to the word Vigadet al-Bincha. And we have every paragraph of Magid is in this introductory little chaveret I just gave to you now. And in these introductory sections, we will see how to, and this is the purpose, this is the point of the book I just described to you, we will see that it's crucial to relate to Magid on these multiple levels. And it's a good question to ask, and I hope these go through them over time. And that it's appropriate and crucial to respond to the child, Chanoch Na'ara Pidarko. It's to give the child the answer he deserves, to give the Shem Adelishol the answer that he deserves. Right? And not every child deserves the same treatment, the same approach pedagogically. And the Haggadah is a pedagogical masterpiece, as we will learn over time. Okay, so there are different taxonomies of kinds of questions that are proper to ask. Most educators just ask very low basic knowledge questions. You don't have to comprehend anything. You don't have to synthesize information. You don't have to draw conclusions and inferences. You just ask to spit back information. What year did this happen? Where did that take place? Right. So Haggadah is an amazing document that, if used properly, can be not only a way to reach different types of children, but to enhance their learning capabilities and teach them how to go to the next step of analyzing things. So, in this direction of answering every question in four different ways, you'll see pulled up the Chuvaret, there's an introduction that I put, an introduction of mine on there, that explains how the taxonomy of these four boys. We classify them not as the typical English translations of the words Chacham, Rasha, Talmud, Shein, and Elisha. First of all, I don't think it serves us to call any boy who shows up at the Seder a Rasha. Right? He's there. He came. You know. But the Haggadah is very harsh with him. It says he's a kafar bikar, right? He's a total heretic. And if he was there in Egypt, he would have remained behind. What does that mean? Why would he be so harsh with this poor guy? Right. So, but the fact is, he still showed up, and he still cared to ask a question. Right. So here's the deal, and I'll get right to it. Is that there's a problem with the classification of the children, because three of them seem to be classified by intellect. Right. And simpleton. I have someone who is so withdrawn he can't even ask a question. I parenthetically would ask, why are we so sure he can't ask a question? Maybe he's, how do you know he's She'enu Yodei Lishol? Maybe he's just what's a lot worse, maybe even worse than the Russia, She'enu Shoel. Right, you know what I'm saying? How do you know that he's not capable of asking? Maybe he just doesn't want to ask. And he's just not up to confrontation. Like the Russia. Right? So we'll answer all these questions by we'll make a chart of the psukim that appear in the Torah. The psukim that appear in the various sources that list these four sons. Right? It's going to be a lot of fun. The four sons are found in the Haggadah, the Talmud Yerushalmi, and the Mechilta Tishmos. The Mechilta is the Medrash Halacha Tishmos. Not in the Talmud Bavli. Right? But in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Mechilta, Haggadah, and the four psukim of the Torah, we're going to line those up and see really pedagogical masterpieces coming out of those four comparisons. But we're categorizing four sons, three by intellect. One is a simpleton. One doesn't know or won't ask. One is wise, right? And only one is categorized by morality. Wicked says nothing about his intellectual capacity. He may be smarter than the Chacham. Right? It's just a more moral capacity. So why would we divide the children this way? So this is a question that's posed in a sefer by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. It's called Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. It's out of print. It's very hard to get now. There's a Svarim sale coming up. I hope they have it. Couldn't find it in any Svarim sale. Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. I wanted a footnote something from the book. I had to go to Brooklyn to find the book. So in it he says that the tum should not be defined as a simpleton. Can you find a better English translation for tum? Pure. Exactly. V'Yaakov ish tum yosheva olim. I doubt if Rashi's grandson named Yaakov Rabbeinu Tam would have considered himself to be a simpleton. Or anyone else for that matter. Would have considered him such. The tum is opposite the rasha on moral grounds. Whenever I wanted to make a morality point, I gave that as the answer to the tum. Plus, I found a pasuk in Iyov where tum and rasha are used in parallel, meaning contrasting forms. Right? This pasuk in Iyov considers the tum to be the rasha's counterpart. When you ever see Agudas that have pictures of the four boys? It's so funny. Daniel Sperber, his work on the Mishnah was made up, has a chapter on different styles of the pictures. And they usually have two sets, Chacham and Rasha together, and the Tam and Shnedrin. But this doesn't make sense to divide them that way. They do because that's the order. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Shnedrin. I mean, if the Tagada was going to put them in order, you see, this is my question. Look at the four sons, the general questions, four sons, which is paragraph 7. Number question 3, why are the four sons in the order the Torah has them? It should be Russia, that's in which most of your days, Tom, the beginning of Perek Gimel, Shinobi, we show the end of Perek Gimel, Chacham is in the bar. And then number 4, why are the four sons broken down in an incongruous manner? 3 by intellect, and 1 by morality. I'm answering that question right now. Because we're mistaken. That is a question if you do indeed call him a simpleton. But I'm not sure that we need to call him that. He's a pure child. You know what I did to prove this? I showed every time that someone asks the question, Mazos in Tanakh, you have 13 people who say Mazos, and they're all really deep philosophical questions, usually followed by the word Osiso. Mazos Osiso alone. What is all this? In other words, he's not just saying, what's that? This? I have a 2-year-old grandson who's every point, every this. Right, which is what I wrote in the middle of it. That's this famous word, I think, of the film Gone. He says that the four sons are actually every one of us. You start off Shema Yodel Yishon. You become Tom, Mazos. Then you become Russia, everyone. Goes through that stage, right? Which is a rebellious stage, which helped me, this film don't help me figure out what to call this kid in my brother. Then the third stage is the rebellious stage where everyone, and usually about teenager years, you know, you start to question authority, right? And then hopefully we end up as, you know, with the wisdom of experience, right? So mazos can be more than just a simplistic kind of question. What's it all about? You know? Okay, so if we translate tum as pure, then we have more of a clear dekap. The chacham is opposite the shener de lisho, two ends, and the rosh and the tum are.
So it's more chaotic.
Yes, that's fits that way. Okay. So I called them the wise. I called the Shinar the Elishol withdrawn. We have to deduce the information from him. We pull it out of him, because he's not going to ask anything. He's going to sit there and just be listening to him. He's going to have his earphones on. He's not going to be interested. interested in anything. We have to get it out of him. Right? So I called it withdrawn, I called it tongue pure, I called it chacham, that's an easy one, wise. But can you give me a good word to call, a good name for the Russia? Because he's asking a question, he deserves an answer. In fact, the answer the Torah gives to Maha Avodah Zos Lachem is the answer the Torah gives, the Haggadah gives later for Pesach Zu Al Shuma. Right? In other words, the Haggadah figures that, you know, it's a worthwhile question to answer. So I don't call him wicked. I think that's, the Hebrew didn't come up with a good enough word for my English. My English, I think, that, you know, gives him more, a little more kassos. What would you call him? Okay, you're on the track. I mean, the word I used is a shorter word. What would you think? Yeah.
Like, even in the Torah, the word Rasha doesn't serve wicked, like Rasha
the wrong word. After all, what's a tzaddik? Tzaddik is the right shias. He's right. Tzedakah is the right thing to do. Charity doesn't figure out the word tzedakah because not doing charity doesn't make you wrong, but if you're not charitable, the Torah thinks you're wrongious. You know? If you get stuck in, you're righteous.
Is that the word for
you? that's not the word I was using, but I added more because of the way he asked the question. Yeah, I really developed this very much about what Maha Avodah Zos Lachem mean. Because the Haggadah makes a big deal of Lachem, but I concentrate more on Avodah and Hazos. Because Maha Avodah Zos Lachem implies that I think that what we're doing, that we should commemorate what happened to us back then, but I don't think we should do it this way. I think that with this matzah, maror, come on, this old-fashioned stuff. When you have to do, get with the, you know, that's dead. That's in the past. That's so yesterday. He wants some remembrance, but he wants to do it. And, you know, he wants it constantly to be reformed and, you know, and reconstituted. And so that's where Aaron Lichtenstein came up and gave a sicha once at the Gush on Hazos, Maha Avodah Zos Lachem. A lot of other commentaries deal with Avoda. You know, he calls it Eidos Chukim Mishpatim, and he's calling it Avoda. As if though this is just a whole bunch of work. This is too much. What do we have to do all this? So, but that's not fair. The Torah refers to it as Avod Vais. It says, V'hayolachem ha'avodah zos l'mo'adam yamim yamima. And then, you know, the Rambam refers to these laws as Avod. The laws of Korban Pesach is in a section of the Mishnah Torah called Avod. And so, okay, but just opposed to Eidos Chukim U'Mishpatim, I get it. Avod is like disparagement, you know. Right, so, of course, the Haggadah's main point is Lachem. Maha Avodah Zos Lachem. Okay, alright, I use the word cynic. He's cynical. Right? In other words, he's waiting for an answer. It's just that no one has satisfied him with one yet. And I'm hoping that the answers I give him, you know, don't give him the answers you're gonna give the Tam and the Chacham. What's interesting is the Haggadah itself gives the Shena de Lishol and the Rosh of the same answer. So, of course, because the Shena de Lishol was stressing Zeh, point to things. Be a good teacher, show him mnemonics, show him why is it that when if I'm teaching Shmuel Bet, I can't get the students to remember from one class to another unless I'm more creative in how I teach it. But this is all. I used to teach 7th grade for 10 years on the west side. And every spring, I'd go to an afternoon Yankee game with the class. And it's invariably, I would take notes during the game, you know, extraordinary plays, some were better than others. There was one game that was an inside the park home run. Right? So I'd ask them 2 weeks later about certain elements of the game. Everyone knew. Every question. It was crazy. they weren't asked to remember the game, right? They didn't know they were getting, maybe after a few years they knew that, maybe they knew that they should remember things because the word got out that they would have to do a test on the game. But still, you know, they weren't taking notes during the game, but they remembered some basic points of the game. So why can't they remember Shmuel Bey's that way? Right? Okay, so Babur Zed. So the Haggadah is saying, if you want to be an excellent teacher, have as much Zed as possible. Things you can point to that they can relate to. Right? So we're stressing that for the Sheinari of Elisha, because we have to, that's what education is, isn't it? To deduce the information from him. Because he ain't coming forward with it. Right? So, but for the Rasha, I want the same pasuk because I want the word lead in for him. I don't have to give him any fake stuff. He's intelligent enough. Fake stuff. I mean, just saying, I don't have to give him any pat on the back or anything. I just tell him straight. Tell him as straight as possible. The fact that the Torah's answer to the Rasha's question is the Haggadah's answer later to Pesach Shanu Ochlim Al Shuma or Shekshur Yom Seinu Ochlim Al Shuma. It's the same answer about the Ma'ariv Zevach Pesach Hashem. So it means that just tell the guy straight, because he's going to see right through your machinations and right through, you know, the stuff that you know, like sometimes in the Talmud where a Gentile asks a question and the rabbi gives him like a brush-off answer and the Talmidim say, okay, Rebbe, you convinced him, but what about us? What are you going to tell us? Have you ever seen Gemaras like that where they tell the Rebbe, you know, come on, we know better. Give us, you know, speak to us. So all of what I really want the Rasha to get is the word li. Bavur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. Okay. All right. So there are multiple layers of what we want these kids to get out of this event. Okay. All right. So this is the section called Magid. Hold on to it. Okay. All right. Now let's get back to what the syllabus looks like. Right. Now, you see on where I have 15, I purposely made this in 15 parts. It's 15 is a very important number at the Seder. Everyone talks about the number 4. 15 is a crucial number at the Seder. There are 15 parts to the Seder. Kadesh, or Chatz, Karpaz, if you count that, that's 15. Right? There are a few places in the Seder where we have a series of praises of Hashem, and each one is 15. There's one that doesn't make it to the Seder, which is the Yetzirah Nechama Gemi, Yeshua Ben Mazmur, Bechavim, 15 of those. What is this? 15 Sheramalos. Dayenu has 15 items in it, right? And it's called Kama Ma'alos, the stages that Hashem takes us to 15. What is that about? Plus, of course, that the holiday takes place on the 15th of the month, right? And I take you for on that. For the Rabbeinu B'chayai. Rabbeinu B'chayai says on the Pasuk, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, a very famous parish. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, Rosh Chodeshim Rishonu Lochem. Why does he have to say Lochem twice in the Pasuk? So he says that you are like the month. Bnei Yisrael is like a month. What's Pshat? Is that you start off with Avraham Avinu, the beginning of your history, rising. What day is the moon the biggest? It's in the 15th. 15 generations from Abraham to Shlomo HaMelech. 15 generations from Shlomo HaMelech, Tzidkiyah. What is that? The moon is full, building of the base of Mekdash. The moon goes back to its original state, not being seen at all, called New Moon or Shodesh, with the Chorban base of Mekdash. In other words, the stages of 15 is. Is a number that indicates a spurt of growth. It's a transitional number. Now you see why. Next time we bench Kiddush Levana, you say when you're looking at the new moon, you say we look forward to the time. And if you even quote the pasuk in Yeshaya, "V'hayoha or halavana ki or hachama kizayin nigrei." Which the Gemara says in Megillah, that we're hoping for a time when the moon's fullness is constant. Now that's a cosmological situation that's not going to happen. But it's a philosophical notion that there will not be any more of the gradations, the ebbs and the flows of Jewish history that Rabbeinu Bechaya spoke about. So 15 is this number that constantly shows up, which is why I, with tongue-in-cheek, gave you 15 Roman numerals here. I divided what happens at the Seder into 15 to be cute and bring home this number. But what we're starting with here is Roman numeral 6. This is just what I'm giving you because of this little handout I gave you. Is the order of Magid. Okay. Now the order of Magid, you see number 3. I don't have too many readings for number 3, but that's the Malbim. You see the Malbim Haggadah? I'm going to make copies because there's so few of us. I'm just going to make copies of the whole Chaveret. I'll have it in the next class. But the Malbim Haggadah, which is, by the way, in English, so it's a very easy read. Like this, okay? And he comes up with such an amazing, such a simple chiddush. Let's see if we can figure it out now ourselves. He says that the Magid section is nothing but an exposition of this pasuk. Vigadat Zolabimcha Bayom Hahu Lemor Ba'avur Zeh Haso Hashem Li Vitzesi Mimitzrayim. It's really quite amazing what he does with this. This is typical Malbim. If you've studied any Malbim on the Tanakh, this is the kind of stuff he does. Okay. Since we got it to the Vincha, this is the pasuk that teaches us the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Okay. In fact, I used it in my introduction to the Haggadah, a Gemara Maseches Shabbos that gave 4 different, this week's parsha. It says, Kosomar lebeis Yaakov, v'saged livnei Yisrael. And the word v'saged is spelled, the only time in the whole Tanakh it's spelled with the yud there, I should say the Torah, with the yud in the word saged. So the Gemara mentions, teach the children kosher gidim. Right? The Gemara makes 4 drushes out of this v'saged livnei Yisrael. And I show in my introduction how each one of those brushes applies to one of the 4 signs. Okay. Alright, so but that's this would be God to Levincha Bayomahu, like more, Babuzet, Basa Hashem Li Betesi Minitzrayim. He says that each one of these phrases corresponds to a section of Magid. So you don't necessarily have to work in order, but you see Lay more? Are you familiar with a section of the Haggadah that takes certain words and then darshens those words out? Right? Arami Oved Avi. Tzeil Abad, Mami Kish Lavan Arashah, Shemama. Right? Arami Oved Avi, Be'er Mitzrayim, Be'er Gosham. Right? So this is what we say when we bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? And then the Haggadah goes out to darshen each and every one of those words to explain the experience in Egypt and its aftermath. Notice we don't expound verses in Shmos. We expound the verses in Parshas Kisavo. Right? So it's called Mikra Bikurim. If you wanted to ask the question, what is it about Mikra Bikurim that makes its way into the Haggadah? It's the Haggadah's first opportunity to let you know, and it's going to be out right later when it says the Shema Bavi Yerushalayim, when it says the 15th Maila, Dayenu, what's the last one? You had not done this, but Binyan Beis HaMikdash. What does Binyan Beis HaMikdash have to do with the Haggadah? Right? Just talk about freedom. You want to mention Israel? Okay, because at the burning bush, Hashem did tell Moshe, I'm going to take you to Eretz Vaschalav Dvash. So okay, that belongs in Dayin. But what does it have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? Because the Haggadah it's trying to give you willy-nilly through some And through the back door, it wants to let you know that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not to just give you your freedom. Right? It's not just to go from Me'avdus L'Cherus. It's to go from Eved Paro to being Eved Hashem. Okay? The people who didn't want that, who just wanted freedom with no strings attached, those are the proverbial four-fifths who stayed behind. They didn't want to, who wouldn't want to be free? No, I don't want to be, I don't want to have any string. I just want to be free. If I'm not going to be, what do I have to go from being slaves of this to being slaves of that? I don't want that. Okay. What did that guy from the Eagles who just passed away last week? He said in Hotel California, he says, we are all just prisoners here of our own desire, right? You can be a prisoner of yourself, totally free. You think you're free, but you're still in prison. Right? Get it? Okay. What? So good. So Lemor is that the Mikra Bikur part? Ba'avuzeh. What do you see Ba'avuzeh is? It's Omer Abba Namliya. Shkol Shalo Amar Shlo Shadvarim Eilu Lo Yotzeh Yedecho Vaso. Right? Now, I ask you this question. What is the thing you're not Yotzeh? Obviously, I have to bring in Haggadah. We have to bring in Haggadahs. I'll bring in some of mine. I have a Haggadah collection in my shul. I want to show you sometime on the semester. What is it that you're not yotzei if you don't say these lines? I have some like collectible haggadahs. I have some Yiddish haggadahs, and it says right here miluftin defroyen yetzt. Whole thing is in Yiddish. It says now call the women to the table, as if though they're not there, you're doing something else to remind you. But now they have to say this because Rav Gamliel says kol shelo amar shelo shedvarim elu. But the question is, lo yatzah yidei what? Chov of what? You mean if he didn't say matzah zu shanuchlim al shuma al shum shu that you're not yotzi on matzah? How could that be? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says kifo'o mimikfa'o goyim v'ochal yotzah, that if he's just sitting there and a Gentile throws a piece of matzah in your mouth and makes you chomp and you're like woozy and you don't even realize you're eating matzah, but you do recognize that it's Pesach today, you're yotzei. So I have an hour, they tell me I'm not yotzei unless I say, why am I eating the matzah? It's okay to share yotzei. That's the famous point of the Chof Tes in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah. How can you jive that Gemara with this statement in the Haggadah? So, I mean, you understand the question? I have to know why I'm eating maror to be yotzei in maror? Who ever heard of such a halacha? It doesn't make its way into any normative halacha or any gemara. So what is it I'm not yotzei, says Rabbi Gamliel? Kol shelo v'mar shloshet v'or neilu lo yotzo yedei chobasa. What chova? So what do you think? Certainly not of these three mitzvahs. Rather, the chova of this pasuk. The chova of Migadat Alevincha. The chova of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can't fulfill the din of telling the story without the mitzvahs of the night. That's one. Ba'avuzeh, Oso Hashem Yivetzei Mitzrayim. That's what we tell the kid. Where I'm telling the story so that we can do these mitzvahs, so that we can go from being slaves to power to slaves to good power. Okay. Oso Hashem Li, this is, you know, Lefichach, you know, it says at the end, those brachas, right? And you know, you ever see Lois Abu Seinu Milvadko, saved us, we were the, you know, he did this for us. Right? Not just our fathers. Asha Hashem Li. Lois Abu Seinu Milvad. Right? And then how does Magid end? It says, Yisrael Mitzrayim. The Hallel. That's what's in Hallel. It says Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'am Lo'ez, right? Okay. My own Mahu is Yaakov Me'erosh Chodesh. Telling you when you have to do this. What's the Hallel meaning to do this from Rosh Chodesh? Or from Erev Pesach? So This is already this is, and I'm getting into drush, but the Haggadah is really all drush. It's a lot of drush. What's the habamina of the mitzvah of the Haggadah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, being during the day, right? It's a very strange paragraph. Yochel Merosh Chodesh, Talmud Nomar, Bayomahu. I Bayomahu, Yochel Mibod Yom, Talmud Nomar, Bavurzel. Lo Amarti Bavurzel, B'Shor Sheish Matzumor Menachem Lefanach. What's good with that? Why would I think these things? So this is a bit of a chiddush that I make in a few different paragraphs in my answers. These are just the questions. The answers to these questions are like 10 pages each section. So the answer is that, you know, in halacha, and you know, Vilna Gaon is so beautiful, it seems that he makes this whole argument in like one line. Because it says, Manishana halayla hazeh mikol halilos. You see the word hazeh there? Manishana halayla hazeh mikol halilos. Why is this night different from all other nights? This is amazing. You're either going to love this or you're just not going to love it. But listen to this. He says, you know, in our halacha, most of our mitzvahs are performed only by day. Unless there's a specific reason, like Sefiras HaOmer or something like that, where the Gemara specifically darshins nighttime. But most of our mitzvahs are done by day. Korbanos, right? Tefillas Arvos for sure, for that very reason. There's no korban, you can't get ma'ariv. But, you know, the mission in Megillah, the Chof of Medeis, the mitzvahs that all have the word Yom attached to it, Yom HaShmini, Yom Tru Yelochem, Mekach Tov Nuchem Yom HaRishon, Tznufa Lechem, Yom HaViyachem, all these psukim that have the word Yom, the Gemara says, this is to show that the mitzvah is by day to the exclusion of night. If someone does a bris milah at night, he has to do a toughest done bris during the day. Right? So these mitzvahs are lacking if done by night. Okay, the time for mitzvahs is usually the day, right? So this is where he runs into, but look, you know, I can't be politically correct. He said this 250 years ago, or 230 years ago, and he says that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, right? But they're not exempt from Pesach mitzvahs, right? Women have to Kosos, Sipur, and Matzah Maror, that's of course. Women have to do all the mitzvahs asay, even though everything, of course, regarding Pesach is very much time bound. Matzah Maror, everything women have to do, right? And he says this, Manishtan, I get it, Halayla Hazed, the word Laila looks feminine. Feminine means it's a time of tour of mitzvah, but it behaves like Hazed. Why are women chayav in all the mitzvahs to save of Pesach? They're not chayav in the mitzvahs to save Sukkot. We don't make women come into the mitzvah. Of course, women can do every mitzvah to save that they want voluntarily, but they're not lacking if they don't. You don't say women have to shake luv and esro midorais. Women have to sit in the sukkah api chiyuv. Why are we treating Pesach differently? You get it? Manishtana halayla. Laila looks like a feminine word. But it's Laila Hazeh. Laila is actually a masculine word. But it looks feminine. You see the Chak? Right? So the question is, why are we doing these mitzvahs at night? Mitzvahs are supposed to be done by day. Yochum Ba'odyom, Talmud Lomar, Ba'abuzeh. Lo Amarti Ba'abuzeh. I cannot tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim unless it is with the mitzvahs in front of you. And the mitzvahs of Matzah, Maror, and Korban Pesach are in remembrance of the night before we left Egypt. And those mitzvahs are night, the Erev Tov Lumazos. So since those mitzvahs are at night, there's no pasuk in the Torah that tells me, that I should tell the story at night. Adarav, the story seems to be by day from this Teres HaKosov. If not for this. Ba'abuzeh, lo amarti ba'abuzeh, I'm sure she's matzah morah kol pesach, it's the time of reading it. So in front of you. So Sipur needs the mitzvahs of the day. I would just like to conclude for today with a little chiddush. Listen to this. This is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. The pasuk says, Shamor es chodesh ha'aviv. Are you familiar with this? It's the laying of the last day of Pesach. Right. Chodesh ha'aviv. Chodesh ha'aviv. Ki b'chodesh ha'aviv. Otsiacha. Mitzrayim Laila. So the Gemara Brachas Daf Tes asks, "Chibah Laila Yatzanim in Mitzrayim?" We talking about we left Egypt during the day. Of course, we took him in Parshas Masay. We didn't leave Egypt at night. So remember the terrors Gemara gives that Rashi gives in his Perush Al Torah. What happened at night? Which is why we also have Geula L'Tfila at night to say Baruch Hashem Lo Yisrael, not just in the morning when we after left Egypt. That's something else. But we also say Baruch Hashem Lo Yisrael at night. Because what happened, it started to happen at night. Vayakom Paro Laila. We were free from slavery at night. But when all is said and done, the word Laila here describes a time, right, that Hashem Alokecha will see a chod. According to Rashi's Teretz, the Gemara's Teretz in Daf Tes and Masechet Brachos, it should say, Ki b'chodesh aviv Paro let you out at night. Okay, but I'm quibbling here. Paro let you out because Hashem did it. Alright, so that's the Gemara's Teretz. Okay, that's Rashi's answer for what Laila means. Now, Sadigam has an interesting solution to this that doesn't require this drash. It says in Parshas Maaseh, Bamidbar Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Gimel, it says in Parshas Maaseh that the Jews were leaving Egypt all day. Remember what the Egyptians were doing during that day? The Torah actually tells us what the Egyptians were doing while we were leaving Egypt. They were busy burying their firstborn. It says in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Gimel. So it says we were leaving Egypt all day, right? So when it says Laila here, you know when actually we left Egypt? The last Jew walked out of Egypt? The next night. So this Laila is going on the time when we're going to start counting the Omer, when Chol HaMoed is starting. Right? By the time we left Egypt, it was already the night of the 16th. It's a cute answer, but why? Why do I have to know that? Who cares? Who cares if it took the whole day to leave? We were filing out all day, okay. But let me tell you something now, based on a possible usage of this word Shamor. I feel like that Shamor shows up an awful lot in Bo. Le'el Shimurim, Shamar, Kasset, Orzel, Mordo. Shin Memre, she's like a Milat Mancha. You familiar with the terminology? Milat Mancha is a word that Chamalek was used a lot. Milat Mancha means a word that suffuses a source. It's constantly used again and again and again in a source. Too much. But Shin Memreish appears many times in Parshas Bo. And here it's actually Shamor es chodesh aviv. It's an unusual term over here. So the Torah Shemalkeh tells me that it means make sure that Pesach always falls in the springtime. Don't do like the Muslims do. You familiar with the Muslims and with their Ramadan? Because they don't correct the lunar calendar, so it just moves 11 days every year. You can have Ramadan in July, you can have Ramadan in December. Right? But we need Pesach in the spring because the second day of Pesach is a barley offering, and you'll never be able to bring that in December. Okay? So that's how you guard, but this is the mitzvah. In fact, the Rambam counts as one of 650 mitzvahs to establish a Beis Din to set up a calendar for mitzvahs. On the submissions of the Torah. Okay? Alright, fine. So, but however, what's interesting is that you've heard of the language Akkadian. Akkad is a nation mentioned at the beginning of Parshas Noach. Akkadian is a very, very rich language. Of course, in ancient Near East, we touched upon this today already. A very, very rich language that has given us a tremendous amount of material. Moabite might be closer to Hebrew than Akkadian, but I have like one or two Moabite documents. I have thousands of Akkadian documents. So much so that a professor here in this school, Professor Chaim Tawil, wrote a lexicon of all the Akkadian words that appear in various archaeological streams and how it relates to Hebrew. It's really quite amazing. I helped him work on it, actually. I mean, the fact is, I believe such a work exists on Klingon, too. You familiar with that?
Klingon in Hebrew?
No, not from Klingon in Hebrew, but a Klingon a lexicon, taking all the Klingon ever spoken in any Star Trek episode, and you know, all the various streams of Star Trek, and they made, you know, they conjugate the words and they use them all, and they've been, like, thousands of them, right? But we have them with Akkadian, and in Akkadian, shin mem resh, it's a very Semitic sounding word. Akkad is definitely a Semitic line, a Semitic relative. And it means there to, like, guard to guard in Hebrew, but it means to guard a feeling, a sentiment. It makes you want to take vengeance. Hayishmor lanetzach, hayitor la'olam, hayishmor lanetzach, like Yirmiyahu seems to use the word in Perek Gimel of his book. So shamar means that you hold on. The Torah wants us to hold on to the story of Egypt and tell it over. It's like telling a story. Leil Shimurim means a night where you guard. Always remember this so you can tell it to your descendants. You hear it? There's a new parish to the word Leil Shimurim. But if that's what it means here, right? And this I want to tell you is the Targum Yonasan. Are you familiar with Targum Yonasan to the Torah? It's not really Yonasan in New Zealand. It's some kind of Eretz Yisrael kind of Targum that takes a lot of liberties with the Hebrew. And it says that Shamor is Chodesh Aviv, Ki b'Chodesh Aviv Otziach Hashem Elokecha Mitzrayim. You know where the word Laila goes? Here. Shamor is Chodesh Aviv Laila. When you observe this remembrance of leaving Egypt, observe it at night. Like this. Don't do it by day. Even though it says by yom, which usually points to a daytime observance. Here's a pasuk in the Torah that says, keep it at night. Right? If the Haggadah knew Akkadian, and it wanted to use proof that you should do the Haggadah at night, and not during the day because of what's hinted from this word, Mishnah and Megillah I mentioned before, it might have quoted to you this pasuk with the onus on the Nuziel's configuration. Shamor means tell a story. Tell the story of leaving Egypt at night. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is at night, not during the day. Because at night is when you have the matzah and the morah. Right? If you want to tell what you experienced in the Holocaust, do it at a time where you can put ritual to it. This is a new thing now. They're trying to make ritual and make events out of Yom HaShoah. Not just tell the story and get a speaker, but actually to sit down and ritualize it. Actually, you know, we don't have the chachomim to be able to do this kind of thing now, but you know what I'm saying? If you sit down, maybe everyone should wear a prison garb, or maybe everyone should, I don't know, you know, eat something that they should eat. Huh?
It's their actual education.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing to say that. So if you want to remember other things similarly, right, we do it with the Sfiras HaOmer. We experience the hair growth, whatever some other people do, or they don't listen to music, or their nails grow, or something, to experience something of Avelus. Right? So Shamor is for the Shaviv, Laila. This Shmira of telling the story should take place at night. Okay? This is my introduction for the course. Okay, so,